We're back on Canucks Central Finals segment here on this fine program. Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah in the Kintec studio this hour of Canucks Central. It's brought to you by BC Liquor. Until May 31st, explore their exceptional selection and save like $7 on 36 packs of Old Style Pilsner. Visit your nearest BC Liquor today and enjoy responsibly. Sat. Are the Jays ever going to play a game where they're still in it by the third inning?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, at some point.
I just wanted to check because okay. It feels like they never do. By the time the third inning's on, I'm like, man, they are so done. Just pack it in for the night. Down four runs? All right. Been a good one. May as well throw out, I don't know, Ernie Clement to pitch the rest of the game.
Last I checked, it's still April, right?
Yeah.
30th.
Today's the last day of April, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So Santander is supposed to be good by tomorrow.
All I'm saying is we have May, June, July, and August.
Yeah.
Four full months plus September. Yeah.
September is also a month.
But it's not a full month of baseball. But I'm not saying you have four full months plus whatever you get in September, which is a decent chunk.
Right. Yeah.
So yes, to answer your question.
So the offense is still one of the worst in the league.
Yeah. But even the worst offense... And it's going to have a day where they're good.
Okay, yeah. Even a blind squirrel finds it out. It's great.
Yeah.
Their calling card, their like signature of their roster is supposed to be pitching and defense.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the worst runs allowed in the league this season.
Yes.
So far.
Yeah, okay.
So far, exactly.
Been a good first month.
Yeah. They're only how many games under 500 now? Like two, three?
Three
now? Yeah. It's going to be four after tonight? Or
they have a minus 35 run differential set. Mm.
Yeah. I think a half of that came from like two games.
Right? Well, still minus 35.
No, you're right. It's not great. I don't know what you want me to say. But panicking about baseball in April, overrated, underrated?
Underrated. You know, I need to feel something. So.
Well, you're always feeling a lot of things, Reach. I think a lack of emotion is not your problem. Okay. I think I've never showed up and Reach has been like apathetic about life. Have you ever seen Reach apathetic about anything?
No, especially not baseball.
You're Italian. You have like passion coursing through your veins.
This
man can't even talk about sitting on a chair without getting passionate about it.
All I wanted was for something to make me a little bit happier because it's been really bleak with the Canucks lately and the Blue Jays are offering none of this.
His face is very red.
Dan literally came in during the break and was like, "Hey, Resh, I'm sorry I'm so dour." And I told him, the more dour you get, the more you try and overcompensate with loud energy.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
You're performing well today, Reach.
It's overrated, underrated. Let's get to it. Come on. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. You give us a topic and we decide if it is any one of those three things.
That was almost apathetic. Yeah, it's a whatever. Just give us a topic.
Yeah, like
don't
the driving range.
Okay, there you go.
Very good.
Underrated.
You were say the Blue Jays.
Driving range is underrated. It is my therapy. You know, like when I go to the driving range, it kind of feels like when I buy a lottery ticket. You know, like I buy the lottery ticket and I immediately think about, oh, how am I going to spend this $56 million that I'm about to win?
You spend it before you get it.
When I leave the driving range, I'm like, I might be able to turn pro. You know, that's how good I feel after today's range test.
I remember I hadn't been on the range in a very long time, and I went with Reach, and then, you know, I was like, oh, he's hitting a couple balls decently. I'm like, it's not bad. He's like, Reach is always, he's like, the driving range always fools you. I'm like, I'm trying to feel good about myself.
Like, Sat's like just getting into golf. Yeah. And he's like, Reach is like, nah, this is horrible.
Yeah, I know. He's like, this is so misleading. It doesn't mean anything. It's different when you step on the course. I'm like, man, I was trying to feel good about myself. I had like three consecutive clean balls.
I just found one win today.
I didn't top any of the last five. Anyways.
All right. We will start with this one from Mike the Urologist. Going all in for next season, meaning expensive coaching hires, trading futures and prospects, signing high-end UFAs, etc.
I think it's overrated to go all in. I think you have to be aggressive, but you also can't be dumb.
It's got to be controlled aggression.
It has to be.
Yeah.
You know, I do think you can be aggressive a year from now when it comes to offering everything in the world to Quinn Hughes monetarily.
Yeah.
I think there are ways to do that. And it's like, okay, whatever, right? But I think as far as this offseason goes, you have to be aggressive. You have to improve the team, but you have to be measured.
I think it is overrated in all the things that Mike mentions, you know, like spending big on a head coach and those kinds of things. Like, I don't know if that's going to make a difference if the roster isn't upgraded enough, right? The most expensive coach in the league isn't going to change the fact that the Canucks don't have any elite forwards, right? But it is going to be more expensive to this team if they throw up an air ball and Quinn Hughes says, yeah, like Rick Tocchet, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to last here in Vancouver.
No,
and ultimately, like, that's the only thing that's giving you hope, because beyond that, you're like destined towards a rebuild anyway. So why not go all in?
Yeah, I think all in to some measure, right? But at the same time, you are trying to get better, but you're also trying to create a path to being able to contend.
Right.
And if you spend everything you have to be a bit better, but then all of a sudden that path to get significantly better from that point on doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Quinn's not going to be stupid.
Yes.
You know,
like,
so I mean, you can't overdo it. You know, like
you can't trade Leiker, Mackey, Volander, and the next two first round picks.
No.
And also sell Quinn Hughes a future in Vancouver at the same time.
No.
What if
you get Sidney Crosby?
Yeah, I mean, but again, is Sidney Crosby going to be here for 7 years or 2 years?
Well, now you don't have Tocchet, so the Crosby dream is really...
it's over.
Yeah,
maybe
it's over.
Really loves Vancouver.
Rutherford. Just wants to play for Rutherford.
Just wants to play for old Jim. He still returns his phone calls, at least. So I've heard.
Who do you think Jim Rutherford can get to answer the phone quicker? Sidney Crosby or Quinn Hughes right now?
He was at the Knicks game.
3 hours later. It's fine.
But I'm sure he spoke to
to
Rutherford.
Eventually.
I'm sure.
Hopefully. Next one from Woodrow the Eligible Bachelor. The New Jersey Devils hiring Rick Tocchet as their head coach to win over Quinn Hughes. Overrated or underrated?
Devils?
The Devils.
Right now, that would be overrated. They're not passing on Sheldon Keefe after 1 year.
They're not?
I don't think so. I mean, you can't blame this season on Keefe.
No, but you also can't.
And like half the team is injured.
I know, but then like he threw his own players under the bus for no reason.
Yeah, that's true.
Like what did they do, Kovacevic?
Yeah, classic Keefe.
Keefe. I'm not a Keefe guy. Keefe fan.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Dan Bylsma only got 1 year in Seattle.
Yeah,
so.
Things happen. And now they just fired a coach to hire him. Are they going to do it again?
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
That's the thing, right? Like they just moved off to bring him in after last year. So it's like, are you?
I really don't think the Devils have to do anything extra other than make sure that they keep Jack and Luke Hughes on their roster in order to be able to lure Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, but I do think it's underrated. If they do move off Keefe, I think the Devils could be an underrated team.
Yeah,
and I think it would be hilarious if Tocchet ended up there.
How funny is it that, like, in the most Canucky set of situations that have ever happened, that have ever fallen into place, like, the Canucks get a defenseman that they've never had in franchise history, mm-hmm. one of the best defensemen in the league, and by the end of it, will be one of the best defensemen in NHL history if he continues on his current trajectory, right?
Yeah.
And he falls in their lap at 7th overall. Jim Benning, never seen him move faster than he moved at the draft in Dallas to get up to the podium and draft Quinn Hughes. I'll never forget how giddy he was with you and Aldi at the draft.
The look on his face.
It was just like, man, this guy is so excited to draft Quinn Hughes. And all of this happens. It falls into their lap. It's perfect. It's beautiful. Quinn Hughes is a Vancouver Canuck. And he's one of the best defensemen. He's won a Norris Trophy. He's a Hart Trophy candidate. But his two brothers, who also happen to be very good, land in the lap of another team. It's not like, you know, they go their separate ways like normally happens in the NHL.
He
gets Jack Hughes, goes to New Jersey, and the other brother, Luke Hughes, goes to New Jersey. And now it's like, eh, if I just go to New Jersey, I can play with my two brothers. What world does this ever happen in?
Yeah, it's so hard to get two together. But then now when the two of them are together, it's like, Quinn, all you got to do is join us.
Yeah, now all you got to do is join us.
Yeah, it's Canucks luck for sure.
It's funny, we all joked about it when Luke Hughes was drafted to New Jersey, and it's becoming a reality all these years later. It's like, oh.
And Rutherford, well, hey, what if the Canucks trade for them?
It might be funny to go back to the tape and listen to the Luke Hughes draft to see how we reacted to him going fourth overall to New Jersey.
The one thing they have is that it's New Jersey, you know? If it was like
Florida. Which is close to New York.
Yeah, but
it is, that's the thing.
If it was Florida, Anaheim, like
I'm sure guys love living in New Jersey. It's like we don't have to live in New York, but we're close enough to New York.
Yeah, I feel like guys would prefer New York, though. Mm. Maybe I'm wrong.
Sure. I don't know. But who doesn't love the Meadowlands?
Look, I'm looking for a positive here, and you guys stole it from me immediately. next one, Austin and Langley. Quinn Hughes being traded this summer.
Mm. Overrated. I'm sorry, Austin.
Okay,
Austin's my paisan, you know?
Yeah.
We go way back.
So from an asset standpoint, how much more is his value now versus next summer?
I don't think it's really all that different.
Is it like so a team that's trading for him doesn't have an assurance of keeping him, would they not value two runs more than one run?
Sure.
But how big of a, like, you're already getting a huge package back for Hughes. Yeah. If it's 1 year, how much bigger can you get?
Okay, and as far as the main piece goes, does it change the main piece? Or the two main pieces? Probably not.
I don't think so.
I think it's the tertiary pieces. Do you maybe get one, like, instead of getting whatever you're getting, let's say it's a list of assets plus two first-round picks.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a list of assets plus one first-round pick.
Yeah.
And, of course, you'd love to have the two. But is that worth not trying with Quinn and like giving it one more go? So I don't disagree. I think the value is pretty similar, maybe marginally higher if you do it now, maybe slightly higher. And maybe if things go pear-shaped, then you can revisit this at the deadline.
Yeah.
I think the deadline to me is the earliest time, not the summer. Because to your point, I don't know if the value is too different. And if you talk about the value, it's going to be the same at the deadline, if not higher. So I think this summer, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, but I think deadline or... if you get that answer for him that he's not going to sign. And the thing is, like, you put enough money in front of Quinn, like, what if you max it out?
Yeah.
What if you offer the full 20%? What if you offer the full 20%?
Yeah. I mean, he might say, well, like, I'm still never going to be able to win here, so.
Yeah, but it's like you're essentially offering him close to $200 million.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's so much money.
I'm just saying. I mean, we talked about this before. I said this before. Yeah. I said, you know, going back a few weeks ago, I said, I don't think there's a number that doesn't make sense for Quinn because of how the cap is going up. So you can give him the max if you wanted to. You can do that if you really wanted to. But do you have the appetite to do that?
So 20% of $113 million, which is where the projected cap is supposed to be, would be $22.6 million.
Yeah, it's a lot of
per
money.
Season.
Yeah, which would be by far the biggest contract in NHL history, by far.
Nobody makes more than 15 right now.
Is he saying no to that? Because he's not getting that in New Jersey. There's no way the Devils are giving him that. Or is anybody else giving him the full max?
He's probably saving a bunch of money on housing, though, because he's going to live with his brothers. So.
Isn't it like Brad Richards who's the only guy who ever got the max?
Yeah, I think then it's Scott
and
Gomez.
And Yager, but Yager was grandfathered in from the previous cap.
I think Scott Gomez did because the cap was so low when he got $8
million. Yeah.
Was close,
I think it was
it,
only
least.
Brad Richards who
maybe,
got
those guys
ultimately
are close.
20%. Yeah.
You're right. I think Richards may have been the guy. But I'm just saying,
crazy.
Like, if you talk about it, like,
of all the guys, Brad Richards,
so like,
who's a great player, don't get me wrong.
Until you have the chance to put that in front of him, I don't think you know what I mean? Like, and you can't really do this until you get into next year, anyways. So that's why I overrated the summer, but deadline, I think you have to start thinking about, okay, where are we at?
Yeah. Not going to happen. Not for me. Overrated.
Next one from Chester, hiring Jim Hughes. His dad.
I mean, underrated. Sure, bring in the Hughes dad.
That's the Hail Mary.
Well, here's the thing. What it means would be underrated. Like, it's overrated because he's not signing here.
Yeah.
But if Jim Hughes is like, I'll come and sign a 5-year deal in Vancouver, does that not mean Quinn's probably staying?
Yeah. It would.
What it would signify, I think, would be
it might
very
be something
telling.
That it'd give you a morsel of confidence right now when we have none.
The significance of it would be underrated. The likelihood of it is overrated.
What if they sign Jim Hughes and Quinn leaves? And then they're just like, hey, sorry, Jim.
Sorry, Dad.
The Leafs did this with Jimmy Vesey's dad, didn't they?
Right.
They hired Jimmy Vesey's dad. They're like, this will make sure we get Jimmy Vesey from college.
What if the Devils just go and hire Ellen Hughes? And then we're
what do you do now?
This is just a giant episode of Succession.
Has Quinn got any cousins? Yeah, can we bring in some Hughes cousins?
Yeah, both sides are like, maybe this is getting too desperate.
Yeah.
Everybody's leaving both New Jersey and Vancouver. Next one from Tatiana. Building a coaching staff purely from 2011 nostalgia.
Oh, overrated. Clearly overrated.
So what? Manny, Burrows?
Well, okay, if we put it that way.
The one that was thrown to us on Canucks Brunch from 11 a.m. to noon, myself and Lena, was Manny Malhotra, Kevin Bieksa, Alex Burrows, and the Sedins.
Well, I mean, Bieksa just hasn't been coaching.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think that matters.
Yeah, I don't. I thought
in this
scheme
of things.
So, so you can actually build a staff, though, right? You can do Malhotra and Burrows because Burrows is coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, does he bring Burrows with him?
Yeah, I guess so.
And then the Manny, Sedins,
one of them can jump up.
Sedins, like, maybe Edler gets into coaching or something.
I think you can bring, if you bring Manny in, can you bring Burrows in?
Yeah. Sure.
You still need more experience.
Burr can coach the power play like he did in Montreal.
Right.
I was corrected by a listener who was listening earlier. Burrows no longer on the Montreal staff.
And player development now.
Yeah.
Still, he has coaching experience.
Yeah, does he want to coach, though? I mean, he did it for 4 years in the NHL, 1 year, 3 years in the A.
Yeah. That's kind of the one thing about, like, the whole, like, wanting to be in the Eastern U.S. for personal reasons, for family reasons. When you're coaching a team, do you really have time outside of coaching the team?
That's why, like, I don't want
to... Maybe it's easier for family to visit, sure, I guess, but, like...
So, okay, you know what's overrated? That Rick Tocchet left Vancouver because of the media.
Yeah.
You know what's overrated? Rick Tocchet not staying in Vancouver because it's noisy.
Yeah.
You know what's overrated? Rick Tocchet not staying in Vancouver because of the practice facility specifically.
Yes. Agree.
What's underrated is that Rick Tocchet's not staying here because he didn't think he could win here long term.
Yeah.
That to me is the most underrated thing you look at. You look at it long term, it's like, I probably have better options elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the family reasons played a part into it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, again, if Quinn's locked up, you have more certainty.
Yeah.
Would it be different for him? I don't know. I can't speak for him. Maybe we'll never know the answer, but we're playing overrated, underrated.
I think I wouldn't disagree with anything you just said, unfortunately.
Next one from Basketball Phil. Drafting not one, but two quarterbacks in the same draft. Overrated or underrated?
I mean, generally overrated, because how often does it work out? I guess it worked out for Washington when they drafted RG3 and Cousins, because Cousins ended up being, you know, better and healthier.
Well, and also Jake Rudin.
Yeah, just killed RG3. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Ruined.
just
ruined
them.
His knee.
Yeah, and I'm not sure RG3 could help himself, because, you know, in different stops, he always did the same thing. But nonetheless, I, that's the point. Probably overrated. A third round pick and a fifth round pick. What's the likelihood of that working out? Not great.
More darts, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I think it was a fine use of their assets, and I hope it works out for them. But, you know, it's probably overrated, let's be honest. Like, we're going to sit here and say it's underrated drafting a quarterback in the third and the fifth round?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess Shedeur Sanders being there in the fifth round would be underrated to some extent.
To make the value case that it's underrated.
Who makes more starts, Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders?
Ooh. I will say, I've been watching some Dylan Gabriel tape.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of like Brock Purdy with a better arm.
Mm.
Like, he's not big, right? He's small. Yeah. He's 5'11". Purdy's not the biggest guy either. But Purdy has shown he can play in the NFL, which is the big difference. Can Gabriel do those things? But he's interesting. Like, he's talented. He's just 5'11".
All I know is neither of them are Jalen Milroe, who's going to be the next great quarterback in the NFL.
Well, you forget about J.J. McCarthy. I do have one more for you before we go. Mustard Sports. Paying the current price of pizza by the slice.
Man, I haven't paid. I haven't bought a slice on its own in a long time.
It's kind of getting ridiculous.
Is it?
Not gonna lie.
What are we talking here?
Two slices at
$2.50
at a place near us. $10.
Two slices for $10.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on where you go, right?
Like, but it's like.
I'm sorry. What?
$10. $5 per slice.
Yeah.
Or is it $9? And you're saying $10?
No,
are you rounding up,
bro?
$10.
How big are the slices?
They're decent size,
bro. What happened to the days you get a whole pizza for $10?
Yeah, those are it. Oh, inflation.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Well, cheese isn't cheap these days, you know.
It depends on where you get your pizza from, slices from.
Even
really.
the cheaper.
I just see a rash shaking his head in the background. He's just so upset.
No, I just I literally own a pizza restaurant, so yeah. Cheese is very expensive.
Food in general is expensive. And it's funny because like some things are, it's almost cheaper sometimes buying something, eating out, as opposed to making some food sometimes, depending on what it is you're doing.
You've got a meal plan almost.
You have to,
if you're
right?
trying to make one thing, like...
It just doesn't work.
Like, if you're doing like a solo, like... This meal lives in a vacuum. It's gonna cost you.
It's gonna be like you have to do like a bigger portion to make it work type of deal, right? But can you order anything under $20?
Yeah, it's funny how quickly we become our parents. I was like, I'll make dinner. I'm thinking about my dad being like, if we went to a restaurant, this would cost $30. I'm like. And I made it for 10.
I made it for 10. I feel so proud about it.
I picked these dandelions outside like the Sopranos. Yeah. Put a little olive oil. It's a salad.
It's like, you make a carbonara at home. It's $10. But you go to a restaurant, it's 35. It's crazy.
Yeah. But some things I just can't make at home.
All right. Coming up, we'll get you some Stanley Cup playoff hockey through the evening. Lots going on. Montreal is looking like they are not going to survive the night. Florida up 3-2 on Tampa, so we'll keep an eye on that one as well. Tampa trying to stave off elimination as well. For our producers, Josh and Arash, my co-host, Sat, I am Dan. You've been listening to Canuck Central.
Talking all Canucks all the time. It's Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.